Welcome to the Move Beyond podcast from International Sport and Culture Association. The main topic of the podcast is using sport as a tool for integration of refugees. My name is Monica, and I will be your host. This is the first episode of the Move Beyond podcast. Today, I have with me two Swedish organizations, one sport and one charity. They will share their experience on working together for the same cause. Let's hear how it was and get inspired.
Okay, so at the beginning, I'd just like to ask you to briefly introduce yourselves to our listeners, and maybe if you have a personal story that is connected to the topic that we're going to talk about today, refugees, if you would be happy to share it maybe with us and give us some inspiration. Hannah, do you want to start?
Yeah, sure, I will start. My name is Hannah Johansson, and I work for the organization RFSU Västra Götaland, which is a sports organization in Sweden. And I am really interested in these topics, especially regarding refugees and sports. I have worked for several years in different neighborhoods in disadvantaged areas in Gothenburg, where we have a lot of events where they can try on different sports. We have leadership courses, and I have a special interest just that I've met quite a few over the years and got to know people, and I just thought that like being on the European level has been even more exciting to work with this like deeper, I would say. So that's me.
Yeah, thank you. Adnan, you want to take over?
Yes, so my name is Adnan Abdulghani, and I work for Save the Children Sweden as a project manager for Project Core React and involved in different projects regarding migration and refugee on the move, children on the move, sorry. And also, I think my connection to working with refugees, it's from my own personal experience, as I was a refugee myself. 5 years ago, I came to Sweden as a refugee from Syria, and being in a refugee camp, experiencing all kind of challenges, and starting something different with my friends, other refugees, where we found that the stereotypes about refugees and how in general society treating us or looking at us, and what kind of power we have, and how we can contribute, and how we can become. So we started a self-empowerment movement. We call it the support group, which it developed, and where refugees contribute and self-organize themselves and become part of the society. And not only it was in that refugee camp, but it spread as well to all over Sweden and some parts in Europe with Save the Children, with the project called React, which I'm leading right now. So that's me.
Thank you. And lastly, Sarah.
Yes, I am Sarah Stixelius, and I work for Save the Children Sweden as well, together with Adnan. I am head and manager, if you would say, for the members movement and volunteer nationally in Sweden. And I work together with Adnan on React and making it a method so that we could use volunteers and empower people in that work. That's what I do.
Thank you. So you already talked about what your organizations are doing, and it's really interesting. But I was wondering, have like your two organizations, so Save the Children and SISU, have you been working before on some projects, or was this the first time that you cooperated together?
Our organizations have worked, I think, together with a project called High Five. But for my personal, especially with migration or with the children on the move in the migration area, this is the first time we do something together, you know. So I think Sarah can fill us a little bit in about High Five, as you have more experience there.
Yeah, we've been working together with the sports organization for 10 years, making safe environments for children in sports. And we do that together with the sports club. So it's not that we come and tell them this and this you do wrong, but we rather help them creating safe spaces in sports. So actually, nationally, we have been working in many different areas together, but in because we are Region West in Sweden, we are based in Vänersborg and Gothenburg. And so here we have mainly worked with safe spaces and not so much with children on the move. So this is the kind of the first time where we actually take the step together, actually creating something from the beginning that I have been involved with in Region West.
Yeah, well, I could just say that as for me also, I worked in this this sports organization for 3 years now. So in fact, Sarah also knows more about like the cooperation that we've had before. But this is also for since I worked here with these questions for 3 years to integrate refugees in sports here in Gothenburg mainly. This is the first time we're actually taking it outside, like further around the district. Also in Vänersborg, we have had not so much action when it comes to this, more so here in Gothenburg when it comes to just sports and refugees. But now we're, you know, this is like, the first time me personally working also with Save the Children. So it's been very interesting and fun work.
I'm curious now about this common project that you did in the Move Beyond, so the pilot project. Could you tell us a bit more about it? What is the main idea of it, and how did you come up with it?
So the main idea of our pilot, it's about empowerment, self-organization, the same what we do with React, to give the power to the target group, to include them in the decision making and in organizing whatever we want to do for them, you know. So the idea came also from our collective experiences, me, Sarah, and Hannah, working in different areas. And the main idea was not to make refugees subject of our project only, but to let them, give them the tools, information, and resources to lead the project themselves. So this is the main goal and idea. And also, this is for the refugee side, but from the other side, also for the sports organizations, it was very, very important for us to make sure that we can connect them to the refugees in the right way with the right intercultural understanding. This is as the target of the project or the goal, but in the same time to find how we can work together more closely as a sports and non-sports organization, you know, how we can work together with the target group, not for the target group. So to find this dynamic and to find good example that we can spread later on in our organizations. As I said, how we did that, the idea came from our collective experiences working in different fields, and I think we did a good job in that field.
And this is Hannah, just to add on a little bit, we had, I think this is a very good description of Adnan, and also the problem that we saw, that was like just a very few refugees are included in sports today. And we said that the problem stems from two sports. One is like sports clubs are not opening up or welcoming refugees, and also that refugees lack experience and understanding of Swedish sports culture. So we aim to start changing mindsets. That's what the problem that we saw. And the solution or the goal was to actively promote cooperation between the Save the Children's and Street Games Gothenburg, because that's where I mainly work with, project under at FCSU. But just in terms of sports and physical activities to promote social inclusion of refugees.
Because it's very interesting to hear what Adnan was saying. And at the beginning of the project, we also talked about this, like how to work with the target group and not only for the target group. So I'm wondering how did you include them, that they would be the part of the project in practice? Did you have workshops, or if you can tell us a little bit more about that part?
Exactly. So the main idea that, as I say, from our collective experiences, Hannah, with her experience with the sports and organizing different sports events and with the sports world, Sarah also from working with our members movement and also working with sports as well for a long time, and me working with refugees on ground, the main idea was that we will not do the pilot. We will not come and spend the money of the pilot to do one pilot for the refugees. The idea was to, as I said, give tools, information, and resources for the refugees themselves to lead and organize. So what we did, we invited, we did a series of workshops with different with refugees and newcomers in different areas, and we invited 8 of them to conduct a training to become ICPAs, what we call them as intercultural physical activity leaders, you know. And the main idea of this training, that we want to give the sports organizing tools to those refugees, and also to give them intercultural tools where they become an added value for the sports organizations. So it's not like the sports organizations have to go and work with those, you know, poor, unadvantaged refugees, but no, we have an empowered people with the right training. And we divided the pilot money that we got for the project to these ICPAs. So they are in bears. So we have 8 trainees, and they are in four teams. So we divided the pilot money on the 4 teams. So where the ICPA will go to the sport organization, I say, I have the training to as a sport organizer, I have the intercultural understanding, and I have the money to do a pilot. Do you want to work with me? Not the other way around. So we're shifting and we're changing this power structure, you know, and how we look and how we approach refugees. And so this is the main idea, to train those refugees to become themselves, to lead the pilots, and then let them execute and do these pilots. So we have 4 teams and 4 pilot projects in one project, yes.
And I can add on just like the initial part was also like to do like the introduction. For example, I went to have like in Vanish Boy, for example, they had a very good, like Adnan talked about, support network with women. So I, from the sports organization, went there and just to have like a brief introduction in the beginning about Swedish sports cultures and pitch the idea that we had with this. And I think from this group of women, after pitching the idea and after coming out, it was 2 of them that was actually the ICPAs that turned into the ICPAs that Adnan is talking about, like 2 out of 8. And we had different groups coming out and just doing from our network that we already had. We like just met like the needs that, you know, how do we do to get these people, but also like just what Adnan is talking about, like, you know, do you want to work together? Like it's on like same level, not we trying to help you. It was gonna go both ways. And we had a very, like in the beginning also, to just give some little detail, was just to talk about like the organization with sports in the same way. Like, for example, and it was me and Adnan talk about like a Syrian dinner, for example, or like a Persian dinner, like the way you organize this dinner, like these women, for example, the way they have done that a million times before, you know, you invite people, you set a time, you prepare, you do the thing, everything. It's like very similar to organizing a sports event. So we're just like having these things that you already know about. So it's just like tweak it a little bit, and then you can take that and use it for when you yourself is gonna have and organize your own sports event. So that's how we started it.
And I can just If I can just add on as well to what Hannah said, I think it's really important that we were already in these networks, that we were already there, so to speak. So we could find people or ask people from the focus groups that we also did in the first part of this project. So I also think that's one of, we're going to talk about maybe that later, but that's one of the things that we had these, we didn't have to start new networks. I think that's really important.
Yeah, actually, I wanted to ask you a little bit about these stages of the project, or let's say of the pilot, like from beginning to the end, although hopefully it's not the end yet. Just to maybe describe them a little bit and the key activities you did in different stages, and also if there were maybe some challenges that you've encountered, because it seems that what you were just saying, Sara, it's probably much easier when you already have connections to the target group in some sort of way.
Yeah, like I said, with the different stages, it's just that we had a plan for it all along, but and we did the education for the ICPA together, and we were doing it all along the way. We were doing it with the two organizations, but the challenges, if we could go from the early, like the beginning, was one that, for example, we had some key persons maybe not on board in the beginning. For example, I wasn't involved in the very initial part, but then as soon as we got to, and I would say the same with Sara and Adnan, like for us to cooperate, like it was very important that we had like the same interests and the same like kind of idea and openness about this. And I think that was a challenge in the beginning because we didn't have the right people maybe to start with. But then as the stages went on, we experienced a couple of more challenges along the way. Just when it comes, you know, you have busy schedules, and like the communication was one of the biggest thing that we also experienced.
In all the Move Beyond project, not the pilots, Move Beyond project, the first stage was we conducted the stakeholder interviews in IO1, and we had contacts with all the stakeholders that usually in sports and as us as NGOs that we work with, that we invite them to talk about the challenges and the obstacles. And for us, well, it was very important from the start to consider refugees as a stakeholder, because the structure of the project was built on the usual way of most of the European project, that especially with refugees, that first you conduct interviews with the civil society organization, with those who work with refugees, then you go and conduct in IO2 focus groups or conversation with the refugees, and you separate those, and you don't look at refugees as stakeholders, you know. So what we did in that early stage, we conducted IO1 with refugees as a stakeholder, not only sports organizations or NGOs or individuals who work with refugees. In the second stage, we started a focus group. And I think the interesting thing for our work, that most of our focus groups was not led by us. What we did from working with refugees and working with the same target group for a long time, we used the refugees themselves to become the focus group leaders. They had the trainings to how to lead a focus group. They had trainings on how to take notes. They have trainings on how to, you know, to do to manage. And I think we got a lot of good feedback because they conducted these focus groups in their own language as well. So this is in the second stage where we had these interviews. And then the third stage in IO3, when we started the pilots, as Hannah said, it was it just clicked. We, from our collective experiences, we come up with the idea on doing different pilots, letting the refugees lead these pilots, and then we started the training. And here I think it's very important to mention for the listeners about the training, what the content of the training, because as I say, if you want the refugees to lead and organize and become a partner, you know, you have to provide them with the right, I always repeat that, right information, tools and resources. And the information and tools that we provide for them is first information about the sports, as Hannah said, about the sports culture, about how the sports culture in Sweden, you know, because most of the refugees have no idea, even if they lived for a long time in Sweden, how those sports associations run in Sweden, you know, what is it? Can you become a part of Swedish association? Can you start your own association? You know, all these information. So it was basic information about the Swedish sports life or associations. Then we moved to information about interculturality, because we cannot assume if those refugees came from different countries that they are intercultural or they understand the intercultural aspect. So it was very interesting, you know, discussions about interculturality with even the Swedish members from our both organizations, you know, and with the refugees themselves. And then we moved to tools, like all kind of tools to organize, you know, from setting up a budget to a timeline for example, do risk analysis, to all these kind of tools, plus also using some media knowledge with how to record what you're doing, how to make a video out of it, how, you know, in all that sorts. And in the I think the second stage, it was starting the pilots here, where we met with the, I think the main challenge were with the coronavirus spreading, and we had to stop most of our pilots. If I looked at challenges during these stages, communication in early stages, we have to find our own rhythm to communicate and to make it clear of what you're supposed to do, what I'm supposed to do. So this is normal in any like starting project. And also, like, we take it for granted everything will be good, so we didn't plan for worst case scenarios, like when the coronavirus happened. So we didn't have a clear plan what we're gonna do, you know, in that. We face minor challenges, example, for in different areas where we don't have enough personnel. For example, in Vanishbori, we had a great cooperation because we have both personnel working there, but for example, in Gothenburg, we didn't have that, the same level of cooperation, because we didn't have enough personnel, not enough communication, not enough understanding what we're going to do there. But things work out eventually.
I think the only thing I can add, or like, is to actually summarize what Adnan said, which I think is very good. He described all the stages. He described like a little bit of the different challenges we have in the stages. But just the importance of sharing the same approach and like how we solve that. Just to do, like he said, like he mentioned, there was a lot of, like, we were very optimistic, very, like, in the beginning, for example, we could do this, and we did not think about, like, what if, like, the worst could happen, like it did now with Corona, like, what would happen to this, like, to have just, like, a plan for that. But other than that, it's been very interesting and good so far, and the next step that we were about to do was that just the ICPAs were going to have their own sports events, and they were going to, and we had one that did them theirs so far, but then we have three more to go, so we're kind of looking at that. And we also had to do, like, we had this big multiplier event where we're going to have, like, on a bigger scale. It was also going to be now in April, which we have to also postpone, like, with the politicians and like to really advocate, like, what we've done and like how we try to, like, encourage and help and work on the same level with the refugees, not like we only helping, just giving the right tools. So that was also one of the things that, you know, we did not think about before, and maybe we should have had that. So that's like the big challenge. But other than that, everything Adnan said was very good. this part.
Yeah. So I'd like to ask you then, if we can summarize a little bit, like from all of the things that you've done in the Move Beyond and in the pilots, considering also that the corona was happening, is still happening, what are the three key learning points for you?
We mentioned it a little bit before, but the three key learning points, just like I said, just the importance of sharing the same approach, solution-solved thinking, and refugees like equality to partners, what we talked about. That's one of the key learnings that we have. And then two, it takes more time than you think if you want to achieve real change, is also like a key learning for us. And I think I will just mention them now and we can talk maybe a little bit more in depth than if Adnan wants to add anything. I will just mention the three key learnings. And then what do we do like in conflict and the crisis, like, for example, corona. So, yeah, those are the three key learning points that we have.
Could I just start by commenting on the approach part? Because I think that it's so important that we talk about it in a bigger perspective as well, because what we found out, Hanna wasn't in the meetings last spring when we started up the Move Beyond project together, but actually what happened was that we had to work with advocacy from the beginning, because the project itself, as Adnan said before, was built on a non-equal structure, which it's not anyone's fault. It's not that we want to exclude, because this project is about inclusion. But I think that it's so important with the approach that we talk about it at all levels, that we don't only talk, we need to talk it in European level, we need to talk about it in the local and in city, in every level of society, actually. So I think that's one of I want to stick that in the approach key learning. It doesn't only have to do, we are so lucky and happy that we had that same approach when Hanna came to the project, because we didn't have to also advocate further, but we could work from the same baseline, so to speak. But I think it's so important, what I have learned from this, I think, is that we need to look for these structures at all time, even when we don't think that we create them. So even when the means are, or the goal is a good one, but the way there can actually make inclusive structure, exclusive structures anyway.
Exactly. If I add on also on the third key learning, Hanna talked about, it's what in the conflict and the crisis, and for example, what happened with Corona. I just want to mention that me as a refugee, when I was a refugee camp, and when we start to self-organize, when we start to work with different organizations, we used to plan all the time for worst case scenario, because we were living the worst case scenario. You know, we were all the time on the move, and before that, adapting and knowing that we have to do that for worst case scenarios. We have to have always a backup plan. You know. But things, you know, year by year, things get more comfortable, you know. And for me and my colleagues working in different areas, also when everything is stable, when everything taken for granted, you know, things become very quiet, and you just think everything gonna be okay all the time. So I think this is a very key learning, that we always have to plan for worst case scenario. We always have to plan for what if things went south. What is our alternative plans? What we can do? So, it was very important this point for me.
And I would like to. I would just say, to like our defense back then, I think that this issue when it comes to refugees in sports and when it comes to like inclusion and all, it's kind of like hard subject as it is to the in the beginning. And I think in order for you to succeed, you kind of have to have the approach where you are positive, you're optimistic, you would think that it would work, and you have very good, like, I remember the meetings from back then when we are very, both sides, like, very passionate about this and how we can do the best out of the situation. And we were a little bit late on in the startup, but then once we started, it was really like, just like ideas were flowing. It was really interesting to work. So I think, just to our defense, like, now looking back, I think, you know, we also had, in a way, to have the optimistic view, we had to have this idea, you know, ideas flowing. So we didn't. But then again, it's also important to look back and be like, okay, maybe what if this doesn't work out? But just to also throw that in, I think that's why we didn't have it in the beginning.
The question is, like, how are you adjusting to the corona situations?
Yeah, we have... like, since we have this working groups with all the different ICPAs that they are going to have the events, we were mentoring, like, we have each of them, they have like mentors. And on our side, for example, we have met them through Skype, like, I think it's like 3 or 4 times, and just like, how are things going, and what would you like to do? And we've also done like worst case scenario now with Corona. Like, if you have an event outside and now it's a law in Sweden, you're only allowed to have 50 people, how would you do it? And we haven't yet done anything like, but we're thinking about reorganizing. So maybe smaller events, maybe, you know, like outside. Initially, they were going to be inside and things like that. So we have kept in contact, and I know. And Sarah Nadnan has to answer for the ones in Vänersborg, but I believe also we've been staying in contact, like, with all of them.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, from our side also as well, we the refugees that we mentor, we stayed in touch with them. We did 2 online meetings with them. We talked about the current situation. It was very important, because although they know the news, they see everything, but it was very important to tell them why we have to postpone, why we have to you know, stop this. And also we talked about what's going on, how we can deal with this crisis, and also how we can continue, and if they have solutions as well. And for an example, one of the solutions came up by one of the participants, the lady. She said that she start now planning on doing it online. So she want to do her physical activity, she have a dancing class for different groups, and she want to do it online, where she can lead a group through Skype or other kind of Zoom or other kind of tools. So now we're looking at how we can make that possible for her, for example. Same, we were discussing with the other ICPAs if we can do small outdoor activity, but we were waiting for the weather, for a little bit good weather, where they can do small activities outdoor, but with small groups, with smaller groups, less than, and we discussed for more safety, it's less than 10. It's very important to mention here for us in Save the Children, it was very clear from the start of the coronavirus that we have to protect the target group, the refugees. They are the most vulnerable group in one of the most vulnerable group in our society, and we don't want to be in anyhow a cause cause of their, you know, getting the virus or spreading it or being there. So this is why we had to be very careful working, that we had early decisions that no outside or no, like, no one allowed to work near refugee camps or with refugees. It should be a very smaller group. We had a lot of instructions and structures to do that, because we have to protect this vulnerable group. So it's also added a little bit more challenge, but we could see now it was a very good decision. And this is why we are more strict even from the government rules when it comes to the numbers and how to do that. And now we're discussing with those ICPAs how they want to continue to do it, not only how we want to continue, because they have to have the confidence and also the enough information and to do that and to continue.
So I was wondering if you have any plans to collaborate in the future as well. You still have quite some months until end of the project, but do you already have any ideas that you want to do things together also in the future?
We have had, through this process, we have learned a lot. I think both organizations have, and it's been very interesting to work together. And one of the things that we, for example, are doing is constantly we have questions to our sports organizations about people, they want to have more information about integration and more information about refugees themselves, and they call, we have this education department over here, they call them and see if we have any lecturers, for example, with this topic that are good about talking about this topic and coming out to different sports, sports organizations to talk about this. And then what we did was actually it took some of these four guys are in the fall gonna come, it's gonna be a floorball conference, and they are gonna talk at the floorball conference. It's gonna be about inclusion, refugees, how it was for themselves to be in charge of a sport event. And also just offering help, how would you do it, if you were in the situation of how would you spread, or how would you make this happen more often, in sports organizations. So we're going to use them actually as lecturers. So that's one of the things that I think our organization are going to keep working with. And then also the intercultural way of thinking with sports. That Adnan had talked about a lot. It's very we might even have Adnan as a lecturer coming in, and this is very interesting. And we have talked about it before, but we need to do within the sports organizations in Sweden, it needs to be much more of that. And I think just with Save the Children in total, I think that we are going to continue. We don't know exactly how. Maybe, but maybe Adnan and Sarah can add on in how they are thinking about future collaboration also.
Yeah, exactly. One of the things that we talked a lot about in our organization, we talked about how much important that, especially with the, for example, the High Five, with the ongoing work with the sports nationally, with the sports associations on nonviolence and protecting children and creating safe spaces, and how we can bring to High Five, how we can bring the aspect of Move Beyond, the pilots, the training, the ICPAs, how we can use these learnings, how we can use these tools that we created in together with the sports association, how we, with our partners, how we can bring this to our ongoing projects in our organization. And because we think it's very important aspect to look at, but also it's more about looking at or enhancing that how much sports is an important aspect of integration. So maybe, sure, it was a part of our work in the migration field, but it was not that, it was one of the factors. But now we look at it, I think from the things that we learned together, we think at it as more as a psychosocial support, factor. And it's a new factor that we have to emphasize and enhance in our work in the migration area.
And also we have other areas where we work. So we work with children on the move and migration area, but we also work together in areas in cities where vulnerable areas where people are not into sports that much. So we could also, we also have other areas to work around. But I think what we need to push together now is the psychosocial support and sports as a factor of well-being. So we will have more collaboration also in other projects where sports is actually a beneficiary of a psychosocial support method that we are taking to Sweden. So it's we have more collaboration in the future, both nationally but also regionally. So we're really looking forward to that.
In your opinion, what is the most important benefit for non-sport organization, so Save the Children, to collaborate with sport organization? What did you learn from this experience? And then also vice versa. So for the sport organization, what are the most important benefits to work with non-sport organization?
The benefit for non-sport organization from this project was pretty, you know, with the tools that we had to use to meet and activate, to make people more active, you know, and create safe spaces for participants. And this is something we really learn a lot from the way how sports organizations work, you know. And also, as we mentioned before, it become as a very important psychosocial support factor in our work, you know. And we could see that during the project, working with the refugees, working with Swedes, working with the local community, you know, in with different sports clubs, we saw how really sports brought people more together, you know. Maybe if we organize normal activities, it wouldn't be that easy, but sports really bring people together easy when you have the right intercultural approach. You know, we've seen it with the simple, like the first few pilots or the activities that our ICPA has done, and we've seen how this influenced them and how it influenced the local society or the local sports clubs, you know, or those who participate, even influence our own colleagues in both organizations. So this is, I think, a big benefit that we learn from as non-sport organization.
And as for us, there are also like a lot of good things that we have learned. One of the biggest things is just the closeness, I would say, to the target group that the Save the Children have. You know, there, for example, up in Vänersborg, it's you know, they have this the support group networks, and they have all these good ways of, like, you know, contacting refugees, having groups, making them be in charge, and like just like exactly what they've talked about before here, you know, just make the refugees really like they're in charge. And I think that that has, you know, make even more, like, even if I personally have worked more with those questions than other, I think other people in my organization have really, it's been really helpful to see this approach and to get to know it. So and then I also think that one of the big benefits for us is also, like, the, like I mentioned before, the intercultural perspective, you know, where you have to think about all these different layers in a person. Like, you cannot only think about, if you know, where he's coming from, he's also father, he might be sitting in a wheelchair, it might be all these different aspects to a person that I think sometimes the sports organization can take, like, one aspect of a person into the, you know, when you're inviting someone to come and play, but there is so much more. And I think that has been very important and interesting. And we could see that, like Adnan mentioned before, in the initial parts, talking just about, like, when we had, you know, my colleagues were there, Adnan was there, and it was the ICPAs in the beginning, and they talked about, oh, so how does it work in your country with this sport event? Oh, okay, how does it work in your, like, you know, in this room, it was like 8, 7 or 8 different nationalities. So it's just like very interesting aspects of like, oh, wow, you cannot only talk to one group. You have to talk about all these different. So, it's been a lot of good benefits, but those are maybe the two biggest ones.
But do you have any like final thoughts or something that you want to share with people who are going to listen to this? Any tips, anything personal? The floor is open.
Yes, I would like to close this with one of the thought about like and the question we had before about do we need to change the public reception of refugees and how, and this is very important because we have to look at this project as an advocacy tool, you know, and we have to change that perspective on refugees, how we look at refugees, because this define how we do our projects in the future. This define how we initiate integration, what we call it integration projects, you know, and it influence in the long run our relation to that group, because eventually those refugees, they either gonna become citizens, you know, our new citizens, or they gonna go back and rebuild or do things in their country. But the way how we receive them, the way how we look at them, the way how we deal with them at start, it is very important to change, because we can't continue to look at refugees as the media, you know, show or as we, the traditional way of looking at refugees as a disadvantaged only group, as a burden, only as a cost, only as people who need help, you know. It's very important to change that. It's very important to look at that group as a competent group, as a group that can bring something to the table. They have added value. We have to look at the added value that refugees bring to our countries. And also, it is very important to change that approach, how we receive refugees, not to look at them only as victims, but also to look at them as survivors, not to look at them as a cost, but look at them and a burden and challenge. Because if you see, we associate always refugee with bad words like refugee crisis, refugee, you know, it's always associated with bad words. But instead of looking at refugee as a cost, we have to change perspective to look at them as a potential. What, as I said, what the added value they bring to the table. And this is here we can, if we change that approach from a victim to a survivor, you know, when we look at the person as a survivor that bring add things on the table, that a partner in the future of this country or the future of the world, we start to restructure how we do this integration projects, how we deal with this targeted group. As I said, very important tool factor from refugee perspective. If you want to have a successful integration project, you have really to provide, to open the floor for the targeted group to participate in your projects as not only as subject, but also as organizers and leaders, with providing them with the right information, tools and resources to do that.
I sincerely hope we can do that. If we can change minds of some people with our conversation, and then go to the politicians and also get them on board to help us change this, it would be awesome. Crossing fingers. Yes, Hannah?
Yeah, I would like to just add one. I think it's really inspiring and good to listen to Adnan just, you know, this is all why it's been so interesting to work also with him. But I think, like, if you're new into this field and you want to work with this, I think, like, one of the most important things is just to be curious, like a little curious of other people, and brave in a way. Like, if it's a bit uncomfortable with the subject and how you deal with this and see things in a new way, I think it's a important characteristic to just be a little brave, you know, go out of your way. And then also to be listening, like to listen in, listen to people, listen to their stories, experiences, and all of that. Like, and I also think that this, it's a big need still, like in Sweden especially, and also I know in other countries in Europe, but it's like, it's important work, this. So just go for it. Like, it's been very fun and good work. So that's the only thing I want to send along to the listeners.
I would like to add something as well. A lot of what I wanted to say has been said, but what I want to emphasize is people's capacity. If we look at Europe, for instance, coming to Europe, that in itself takes a lot of capacity in a person. Traveling in death boats over the Mediterranean Sea, or coming other ways, unsafe ways to Europe, and actually coming all the way, in our case, to Sweden, that's a big capacity to be able to do that and to find that, and not to look at people patting them on their heads and saying, okay, now you can sit here and wait until we help you, but rather, what can we do together now that we meet? So I think that to look into people's capacity, even if you see someone and you don't think that this person can contribute to so much, just start talking, be curious, and you will see how much they can give you, not how much you can give them. That's my punchline, I think.
Awesome. This has been like very interesting, inspiring and motivating conversation. Also, like for me, just listening to everything you did and how you do things and what you've learned. Very nice. Very nice. So with this, we'll close our conversation. Hopefully we change minds. And if we change minds, hopefully the minds will do actions that will change the society. So thank you all for taking your time. Hopefully you got some inspiration for your work with refugees. Thanks for your attention, and make sure you listen to our next podcast.